Okay. So, all right, can everybody hear me? So, Magana, Timananda Shah, Ganandana, Silakaya, Chapsur, Meditam, Nina Tosmai, Shidabe, and Maha. So, welcome to the Gopal Academy. Oh. Oh, he didn't realize he was going to be paying for it. So. Better get Krishna free out there. There's a lot of men, you know. not this specifically. So, society functions on the basis of education, because the head of society, according to the Varnashram culture, are the brahmanas. And then after the brahmanas, of course, you have the kshatriyas who administer, then the vaishyas, who do trade and commerce, and finally the shudras who assist everybody. And also you have the ashrams, and that is the brahmachari, who's supposed to, the only two words should be yes, sir. Brahmachari guru kule vasandanda garori tam rachiyan dasavan nicho, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmachari lives in the ashram of the spiritual master, vasandanta. He becomes self-controlled, works only for the benefit of the spiritual master. That's why we don't have too many brahmacharis here. Where have all the brahmacharis gone? Long time passing. So anyway, so works Gurori Tam, has good behavior. He learned Dasavan. He learns that he's a Dasavan, you know, like full of service. So that's about, anyway, so I'm not going to get into the whole thing. And then you have the Grahastha. The Brahmacharis are the legs of society. The Grahastha is the stomach of society. That means not only does he eat for the rest of society, but he also maintains the rest of society. That's why he's the stomach. And then after that, you have Vanaprastha, the arms, and the Sannyasi is the head of society. So this is Krishna's Varnashram system. So in order to have a Varnashram system, you need education. Because the three higher classes, we're talking about the Varnas now, the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, they're all Dvija. They're twice born. Actually, that word Dvija, comes from the word for birds. Birds are also called Dvija because they are also twice born. Once they come out of the mother bird, and if they don't end up in the supermarket, then they come out of the egg. So that's the second birth. So, Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskara Bhavet Dvijam. In Kali Yuga, basically everyone Shudra, Shudra would actually be a blessing. It would be praise, unwarranted praise. Everyone's Vilecha, Yavana, Rakshasa, or something worse than that. So in Kali Yuga, everyone's like that, but samskara bhavet dvijam. So let's talk about what samskara is. Generally, when you talk about samskara, you're thinking about initiation. But samskara, the word literally means impression. So that's why we have different samskaras throughout life. You know, there's the Vaha Yagya, there's the Namakarna, there's the Griha Pravesh, which is, I guess, we're doing now. It's Krishna's house, so we're having a housewarming party. So the idea is to have a bona fide Varnashram Vedic Krishna conscious society, you have to create good samskaras in people's hearts. Now, those of us who have not grown up in the Krishna conscious movement, at least not until we were 20 years old, we have some really unfortunate samskaras there. And we have to be careful because these samskaras come back whenever we're not alert, and we remember all the rock and roll songs we learned when we were kids and all the movies we saw and everything like that. So this is, all these impressions are there, just lying there, ready to rear their ugly heads as soon as we're a little inattentive. So the idea is that we want to give our next generation, or the generation after that, Krishna conscious sanskaras. In other words, impressions on the heart, impressions on the subtle body, impressions on the mind, that are related with Krishna. So instead of thinking or remembering songs like "When the Moon Hits Your Eye," "That's a Big Piece of Pie," "It's a Mary," instead of remembering songs like that, or "Do You Need Someone to Love," you know, so many songs come to mind, or "Star Wars," or whatever, then the kids will automatically remember Krishna, and Krishna's stories, and Krishna's devotees, and how much fun they had in Krishna consciousness, because a Krishna conscious education is meant to be fun. Not only is it meant to be training up, giving good impressions, but it should be fun. So this is the whole idea of this whatever academy, I guess I can't use my own name.
BKG.
Gopal Academy. So BKG Academy. I guess it's called BKG Academy because I paid for it, but anyway. It's like our congregation, you know, they want to sponsor something, they got to put the name on the plaque and everything like that. Mr. Sharma, he... So, unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, the sannyasis have so much false pride, they want the schools named after them. So, what can I do? That's me. Anyway, so the whole idea is to create a society of Krishna conscious, not only children, but the children are going to grow up, so this movement can continue. It's shown that when a society takes care of its children and new members as first priority, the society actually has some stability. That means first priority. I mean, in the beginning of the Krishna conscious movement, you know, it wasn't really taken as a first priority. Generally, the person who was teaching the kids or whatever was the person who couldn't go on sankirtan, who couldn't do deity worship, who couldn't cook. So he stuck them with the kids. I was actually one of the first teachers, anyway. But I did do sankirtan, I did know how to cook, and I did know how to do deity worship. But I lasted about 5 months with the children before they sent me on sankirtan. Anyway, so, but there wasn't so much, it wasn't a high priority given to the training of the kids and putting the best people to work teaching the children and giving the children the best facility, unfortunately, and we reap the results of that. And our movement has undergone so many years of instability because of that. Now, hopefully in New Goloka and other communities too, we're gradually catching on, we can set a standard of taking the children and their upbringing, their Krishna consciousness, as first priority. And so this is our hope here in establishing this school. This school, of course, will be the first building amongst many buildings. I can't say I'm going to sponsor all the buildings. Gopal will do the next one. The first one amongst many buildings, as our community grows and people become attracted to coming here from other places. You know, I'm very excited about this facility. And I think all the devotees, we should, let's say, take as first priority the care and upbringing of the children in our Krishna conscious movement. Whether you're a sannyasi, whether you have children, don't have children, whether you're a brahmachari, that's our first priority. You see, Srila Prabhupada, I've been reading this biography of Srila Prabhupada that's written by Sharma Sundar. We see how affectionate Srila Prabhupada was towards the children. Little Saraswati, who was the daughter of Malati. And I was just reading how Prabhupada was playing through a flower at her. And then Saraswati took the flower and put it in Prabhupada's mouth. You know, can you imagine that? You know, going with, I would never try that. The Prabhupada was just sitting there smiling, playing with her, putting so much attention. Prabhupada took money from his own book fund to support the Gurukula. So that was Prabhupada's first priority. And so we hope to make this our first priority, new Goloka. And then Krishna will reward us, of course, not only taking care of the children, but taking care of the children in Krishna consciousness. So we want to inaugurate this facility. Yeah, and then we're going to be starting with preschool too here, isn't it? Preschool all the way up to eventually high school. Not high school in the beginning, but all the way up to high school. So it's, I'm very excited about this. And of course this year is also a commemoration of my 39th year as a renunciate. Wish I ran away from all responsibilities and took up the service of eating Mahaprasadam. So, anyway, so let's speak a little bit about that, although we had a party 2 days ago honoring my renunciation. So the reason I took up this renounced order of life to serve Prabhupada's mission is that many years ago, 1977, November, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada left this mortal world. I was in Los Angeles at that time, and I had not heard Prabhupada's final instruction that he wanted all of his disciples with him. That final instruction was not conveyed to the rank and file members of the Krishna Conscious Movement because many of the leaders were afraid that if that happened, the temples would close, at least temporarily close. Prabhupada himself said, let everything stop, you know, even the deity worship, so the devotees could be with him at that final time. But anyway, so I was not with him. I was in Los Angeles at that time. And when the announcement was made, right after the morning program, to all the devotees, because the doors of the temple room were locked, I was the one who had to lock the devotees in, because, you know, we didn't want anyone leaving before they heard the announcement. And basically everyone collapsed to the floor and was crying. For 2 or 3 days this was going on. Now one may say that's rather sentimental, you know, you're not your body. But Prabhupada himself comments in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that when the spiritual master leaves the planet, the disciples should weep like the queen whose metaphorical story is being told in the fourth canto, part four. And then Prabhupada says something very interesting in his purport, referring to the sati rite. Now, some of you may be familiar with the sati rite. The sati rite is a rite in which the husband dies and the wife voluntarily jumps in the fire because she can't bear to live without the husband. Of course, that's illegal now in India for a variety of reasons. Ladies were being forced to go into the fire because their in-laws didn't want to take care of them. But that's another issue. So nowadays, of course, sometimes you find a couple that is so devoted to each other, even in the Western world, where the husband dies or the wife dies, and the other one dies within 3 or 4 days or even a few minutes. You hear these stories because there's so much dedication. So Prabhupada was comparing that sort of dedication. Prabhupada was not advocating the sati rite for disciples, but he was advocating that sort of dedication to the spiritual master. I just read in Shamashundra's book, and Shamashundra asked Prabhupada, Amarendra, it wasn't Shamashundra. So Amarendra asked Prabhupada, what does it mean to love the spiritual master? And he thought Prabhupada was going to answer, you know, one should just consider the spiritual master like a father and be all mushy and gushy and stuff like that. But Prabhupada answered, one should stick, and I'm just paraphrasing, one should stick to the order and his promises to the spiritual master. And it's specifically in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, that means serving the mission of the spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada said that disciples should be ready to leave this world with the spiritual master unless he's going to serve the mission of the spiritual master. Just like in the Sati rite, that the wife would leave this world with the husband unless she had children or some mission for the husband. And you see in the case of Kunti Devi, she stayed in this world because she had the mission of taking care of the five Pandavas. Madhuri, of course, she left with Pandu. So that's a typical story. So Prabhupada is giving that comparison of the relationship between the disciple and the guru. So I was thinking about that. And of course, I wasn't thinking of leaving this world. I was too attached to prasadam. So I said, well, I have two options. One is leave this world. No, I like prasadam too much. And the other is stay. And he said, if I stay, I can only do one thing, serve the mission of my spiritual master, holy and soul, not just serve the mission on my day off, but serve the mission 24 hours a day. So with that in mind, at the next GBC meeting in Mayapur, which was in March, my name was put up to the GBC as a sannyas candidate. And I didn't take the sannyas exactly at that time. It was 1978, the first GBC meeting after Prabhupada left. And so it was understood I'd take in 79. So there's a story of why I took in 78. So the reason I took in 78, I was already approved by the GBC to take in 79, was that right after Prabhupada left and we had the GBC meeting, and certain people were approved by the GBC to become spiritual masters. And I was working in South America and Los Angeles at that time. I was in charge of the Spanish BBT and also preaching in Latin America. Then certain individuals in Latin America didn't like to follow the GBC, or let us say they had some anti-American or anti-gringo sentiments. It was in Venezuela. There were two individuals. They were sannyasis. One later committed suicide. One is now a nice devotee, but he's driving a truck in Germany somewhere. So anyway, so what happened is they decided, they sent a message to the GBC of Venezuela at that time, which I had worked in previously. Don't come here. Don't come here. We're the gurus. You know, so they acted in disobedience to Prabhupada's order, which was to cooperate with Prabhupada's GBC. I mean, if the GBC has made so many mistakes, that's true. But we cooperate because that's the only way to keep the society together. And if someone makes a mistake, or if the GBC makes a mistake, or if ISKCON has some problems, you endeavor to correct those problems. I mean, that's love. Like if your child has some problems, you don't throw them away. Your child doesn't do well in school, you don't just say, well, it's not my child. Actually, my mother did that. My mother, she didn't throw me away. But as soon as I got less than an A on a report card, she said, that's not my son's report card. My son would never do less than an A. Some of you are from India will recognize that. It's from the Hinduish community. Actually, yes. It's interesting. Anyway. So you endeavor to correct something. Obviously, like Prabhupada said, another example Prabhupada gave is the boat's rocking, and you may be hanging off the side doing something. I used to live on a boat, so I can really relate to that. And you don't jump off the boat because the boat's rocking. You know, but if you jump off, you won't be nauseous anymore. You'll be dead. You can cure your vomiting by jumping off the boat. That's true. Isn't it? You just swallow water. That's the cure. So I'll probably say you stay on the boat and you try it. And don't desert. Don't desert the boat. I remember even there was one famous boat, I think it was in Italy. The boat ran aground. There were so many problems and the captain left and people died and the captain was put in jail. because he left the boat instead of staying with the ship. It says the captain should get down with the ship. Of course, Iskon will continue to float, but it will continue to rock.
Rock.
Around the clock. Anyway, so one sticks with it. So that was my dedication to Prabhupada. And so I thought, in order to formally dedicate myself to Prabhupada, takes them. Yeah, so what happened is that there was this whole upheaval, as I mentioned before, in Venezuela and other places in South America. And they were thinking of spreading their independence to other countries like Colombia, Ecuador, Panama. So I got a call from the then GBC of that part of South America, which remained nameless to protect the innocent. No, it was Rita and Andamarish. He said, we have to do something. Come down to Peru. So I got on the next plane and flew down to Lima, Peru. And Lima, Peru, it was very nice. There were nice preaching programs. And we were talking, what are we going to do to solve this problem, keep people within ISKCON? And I said, well, you've got to take sannyas. I'm already approved. And he said, when? And he said, I said, today is Srivasta Thakur's disappearance, and I have the obeyed. He said, well, you're not prepared. You haven't made your danda. You haven't made any of the clothes. And I said, yes, I have. And, of course, one of my godbrothers also took sannyas with me at the same time. He's a nice devotee. But he passed away recently. It was Jagajivan. And, his wife will be watching this on the internet, because she's one of my friends on Facebook. So we both, like, young, I think, I forget, 26 or something like that, ran up the stairs. I remember ran up this picture of me running down the stairs, smiling with my sannyas robes. Some of you wear those pictures? Someone has them? You have some of those pictures. So anyway, so then ran down, had a fire sacrifice, took sannyas, thought, wow, this is great. And then that took sannyas's dedication to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. So we were preaching in all these different countries and protecting them and keeping them in ISKCON, like Ecuador, Colombia. I mean, Venezuela I couldn't get into for a variety of reasons. I snuck in there once, but it was too dangerous politically for me there. But South America, Central America, everywhere. Then, I had this whole dedication to preaching in South America, and then I flew down, I'll continue the story, anyway. I flew down to Brazil to see Rita and Andamarish, just to see what was happening there, to get inspired by all of them. He says, guess what, I'm changing your service. No, I'm not changing my sannyas. He didn't say, guess what, I'm getting married. He said, guess what, you got to go back to America and preach in America. Because we've got to make some American devotees. Krishna West, anyway, this was before it had the name Krishna West. Of course, now in North Carolina, we have the name Spirit Soul Connection. Isn't it? SSC. Spirit Soul Connection. I was just joking with the members of the GBC with all these acronyms. We have this UMA, Ultimate Managing Authority, ULA, Ultimate Legal Authority, and I said we should also call the USA, Ultimate Spiritual Authority. So my service has been, preaching, and I was in America, and then Rita Nandamarish was renowned for changing people's service pretty quickly. Snap of the finger. So in those intervening years, I've been serving in different ways as sannyasi and guiding devotees in Krishna consciousness. And I'm very happy I took the decision to take sannyas in 1978, because that's my natural inclination. Of course, when one is that young, you don't really know what's the right thing or whether something is your natural inclination. Because many times people at the age of 26 do things out of passion. But fortunately, I made the right decision. Nowadays, of course, once when someone wants to take sannyasa, there's a long waiting list. They can be 95 years old and put them on the 10-year waiting list. And make sure that they memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita in spite of having Alzheimer's disease. But anyway, they're very strict. They show them pictures of women to see if they're attracted at all. No, they don't. What's that?
The vision's gone.
Yeah, the vision's gone. They see if they can tell the difference between a man and a woman. So, it's very strict now. No, joking aside, it's very strict. In those days, it was quite easy to take sannyasa, and I think I was the first or the second person to take sannyasa after Srila Prabhupada left this world. And I'm very happy I did, and I continue to serve in that capacity. And as a sannyasi, I'm concerned with all the orders of life and all the men, women, children, the future of our movement. Very, very much concerned with succession. Succession means if you want success, you've got to figure out succession. Which means, you know, who's going to take over when you're no longer able to do things. And this is a fact. You know, that we do get old, we do get sick, and we do die. So I'm very concerned. So this facility we have here, the school, and the emphasis on education is part of that plan for succession. Not only plan for succession, but plan to carry out Prabhupada's actual mission, which is to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization, to change society. Not just to have, you know, a successful temple here at Nugaloka, but to actually change the world in Krishna consciousness. So in that light, I'm utilizing many different techniques, cultural things like we're doing in the spirit soul connection, to try to bring more and more people into Krishna. We're straining our brain to do that. Prabhupada said, he defined the Mahabhagavat, not that I am one, as someone who doesn't fall down but is always thinking on how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So we have to use our intelligence. Like Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. Of course, books are the basis, utility is the principle, purity is the force. Very, very important. So we should remember those things. So thank you all for coming here. It's a wonderful occasion to see everybody. Joyful to see the children who will be taking over in the future. And the old people who will be taken care of in the future as they sit and they sip their non-alcoholic mint juleps on the porch here. So Krishnananda is going to make a nice porch with rocking chairs. You can sit outside and pat the children's head. Motorized rocking chair. So, I guess that's any questions? Or problems. Nice to see you all. Nice to go to Ditch and Narayan. Our books are sugar to hear. The heart of Srila Prabhupada. He's keeping the heart beating.
I was thinking it would be nice if this did a speech. He's
also been a principal. Oh, yeah, of course. This is the inspiration behind the school. Where is it?
As far as way as I can.
So, you have a few words? You want to say a few words?
I'll say a few words. Next week we're going to have a meeting. I'm going to talk about how we're going to fill the school up and how we're going to, how the school is going to grow next year. And we're so fortunate now we have a facility. And this facility is an inspiration for the whole community to back the whole concept of putting kids first. Because it's the kids who grow up in Krishna consciousness who will be the Krishna conscious leaders in the future. And for some of us, we'll be going to school after we change bodies. So. This is a really wonderful opportunity for all of us to get together and give the school a real enthusiastic beginning. And in the next year or so, we'll be seeing so many new development. Hopefully, we'll be seeing so many more families come. But there aren't that many schools, really, this kind of schools right now. And this facility is as good as any you're going to find anywhere. And so we're very fortunate to be living in a community which is in the country, not exactly really in the country, but it's not in a big city, and plenty of opportunities for families to support themselves with good jobs. And there's a thriving Indian community and lots of devotees coming from that community. So now, other devotees in other parts of the country and other parts of the world see this. They're going to go online and they're going to look at the pictures of the school, and they can see our Facebook page, etc. And in this way, they'll be attracted to a community where their kids can go to school from their earliest ages, preschool, right to high school. So this is a very, very important development and a very important day. I think it's nice that it's happening on Birgit Maharaj's sannyas anniversary. Kind of gives it a little more potency. And it's also just a few days before Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day, which is a very, very holy day. And we can remember that this is the real mission for our community, to take care of the kids, to have families come here and feel that they can be part of a growing and thriving Krishna-conscious world here, and that the kids can grow up feeling very, very supported in Krishna consciousness. Remember, Jamal Krishnamurti spoke about the school in Dallas. He said that the children will never leave Krishna consciousness if they have a good family life and a good school. And if they have those two things, they may do so many things in their life. That may not be totally Krishna conscious, but if they grow up in a good, loving family of devotees and have a place where they can go to school and learn about Krishna consciousness, as Maharaj said, will be impressed within their heart, and in that way, they'll always be devotees. And this is what we really want. We want our kids to always be devotees. And that way, they'll be happy, and we'll be happy because we'll see them grow up, and then ultimately, we'll all be engaged in Krishna consciousness in society, in this community, and also, once again, I think we should all thank Birgit Maharaj for his generous donation to build this school. So, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak, and let's all get behind BKG Academy and see it grow in the coming years.
Let it go. All right. Any other point? Anyone else want to say something? Oops.
Okay. I'd like to say something really quick.
All right.
Had the vision and the income funds to do the project, but you know, several of us didn't really know where to begin. And I called our old pal Gopal, who has had some experience in doing this sort of thing, and he was extremely enthusiastic about taking up the challenge to find a suitable builder and doing the whole logistical aspects of completing the building and the execution. So. I just wanted to thank you. So
actually, I remember driving around with Gopal looking for different places to
We're first looking at some mobile homes, for example, and we were going to different builders. And it really was an interesting adventure because it didn't seem like we were going to find the right place, but eventually we did. And it was Gopal, very insightful. Gopal's really perceptive, and he knows how to talk with different kinds of personalities. We get the best deals.
Talking about me, I suppose I should say something. So, thank you very much for your acknowledgement of the service. However, these places that you mentioned that we went to see, they were all given to me on a platter by Andrew. So, I didn't really come up with anything, didn't do too much work. He just asked me to execute the idea.
Execute is the word. Because Gopal is very expert at bargaining and getting the best price. When I bring him into a place, I go outside because I can't stand to see people suffer. I just said, Gopal, you take it from here. I walked outside. Can't stand to see grown men cry. I mean, it's just like... Yeah.
I would have mentioned that Rani was very instrumental, too, because she was always suggesting how we should improve how the school looked like. Saying, we need this kind of door here, we need extra windows there. And that was really good because she was the one who had kind of a vision. Otherwise, we weren't so sharp on that.
Okay. And also, we're very happy to announce that Leela Shakti is moving close to the temple, right next to the temple. She and her husband. Her husband is very expert at gardening and everything, and we're very happy to have Tota Gopinath and Leela Shakti as our neighbors. And they'll be having their housewarming when? Next month. Sometime in July. So, I mean, things are happening. We have, a lot of the property around the temple we have already. Like, of course, where the property we're sitting on, that was all temple property, but then where my house is, the White House, where Donald Trump stays, and then, that's a joke, and then we're in the house of Mother Christian Freeman, Abenasri, stay in that house, and then, the first house on the driveway, we have that, and then the 7 acres across the street, and then Jai Shri has her property next door, so gradually we're increasing the community, because to have a successful Krishna conscious temple, you need a whole community around people who are participating, and those of you who don't live in the area, you're invited to find houses here, in this area, like our friend Govinda Leelamrita.
Oh, no.
And also Dira Krishna Kunjavasini, they have a place right nearby. People are moving in the area. And Leelamrita, and Govinda Leelamrita, and her good husband, Kalyan Krit, are going to move close to here. So, and the property values are roughly half or less, practically, what they are in Kerry. Isn't it?
They're going up quickly,
so now's the opportunity. You can have a much bigger house, big lawn, swimming pool, and everything. But half the price of what you pay for a place in Kerry, where you reach out your window and you touch the neighbor. You know, for $300,000 or $400,000, that's what you get. You could hold. Well, it's good if you want some salt or sugar or anything like that. The housing there reminds me of this place in Mayapur called Gorunganaga. Gornaga, where the houses are real close. So for less price, you can have an estate here. You can be a, wow, glorious. And you can be right next, the main thing is you can be right next to Krishna's temple. Participate in Mangalarti, come dress the deities, it's exciting. Okay, any other?
We're happy to see Omkar.
Oh, yeah.